We start at the top of Nun Dal Amud Aleph. Gemara says Tanya Kavote de Rova. There's a brisa like Rova. So what we'll do now is just spend time laying out the issue that Rova is dealing with. We had a machlokes between the Rabban on the end, Rabbi Yehuda and the Mishnah Nun Gimel. And Rabbi Yehuda over there says that when it comes to a situation where an individual has relations with someone who is a rayot, Eshet Aviv, someone that is his father's wife, plus Imo, it's also his mother. There he will only be chayav for Imo, but he will not be chayav for Eshet Aviv. So the Gemara on Yom Gimel is trying to figure out why. What's the source of Rabbi Yehuda Shita? And Rav at the end of yesterday's daf gave us the reason what he thought. And the Braisa here is basically going to lay out that limud. The problem or the issue that we're dealing with is that there are psukim in Parshat Kedoshim and psukim in Parshat Achrimot. Parshat Achrimot, we have the Parshat Harayot that deal with the Azharot that say don't do this, don't do that. And then in Parshat Kedoshim, it lays out what is the punishment if you do such and such. What's the punishment? So when it comes to the punishment in Parshat Kedoshim, the Pasuk says, it's in Perachav, Pasuk Yudalef, V'ish, She'ishkavet Ishet Aviv, Ervat Aviv Gila, Mot Yum Tu, Shnehem Demeyem Bam. So here, Ishet She'ishkavet Ishet Aviv, the only thing that's mentioned in Parshat Kedoshim is Ishet Aviv, his father's wife. What is not mentioned, what is completely absent in Kedoshim is the word is Imo, his mother. Whereas when you go to Parshat Achrimot in the restrictions about what you're not allowed to do, there it says in Vayikra Perak Yudchet, and Pasuk Zayin says Ervat Avicha, which is unclear what that means, Ervat Avicha, Ve'ervat Imcha lo tegale Imcha hi, lo tegale Ervata. So Ervat Imcha here is a specific warning against relations with your mother. Then later on, the pasuk right after pasuk ched is ervat eshet avicha lo tekaleh ervat avicha hi. So you have an azhara, or what seems to be an azhara, a warning against imcha. You have a warning against eshet avicha, but when it comes to the punishment, the onshim, you only find eshet aviv. So the question is why, or how do we deal with this? So Yehuda deals with this, and he creates a gzeirah shava. The gzeirah shava is between aviv gila, ervat aviv gila, which is in Ikdoshim, and in Achrimot, where it says, Ervat Avicha Lotigal, Ervat Avicha, so Lotigale. So in that case, we have these two, he creates this Gzerah Shava. And the Gzerah Shava teaches us from each item something that the other one doesn't have. So what does Parsha Kedoshim have? Parsha Kedoshim has Eshet Aviv, Ervat Aviv Gila. So that teaches us that whether it's Eshet Aviv, that's his mother, or it's Eshet Aviv that's not his mother, you're still chayav. The only requirement from Parshat Kedoshim is that it be Eshet Aviv, that there be some sort of ishut, there be some sort of marriage that is taking place. And then from Parshat Achrimot, what we can learn out from Ervat Avicha, from Ervat Imcha Hi, there we learn out the word Ima, Ima without any Eshet Aviv, Ima independent of Eshet Aviv. So Yehuda says, we'll make a Gzeirah Shava, and we'll bring both in each direction. That'll teach us that in Kedoshim, when it says Eshet Aviv, it doesn't just mean Eshet Aviv, that's his mother, or Eshet Aviv, that's not a mother, but it also means his mother, Imo, without anything else. That's also included in the Ipasuk in Parshat Kedoshim, because of the Gzeirah Shava. Right? And the other way around, when it comes to the Azhara, when we're talking about the Azhara, over there it says, Ervat Imcha lo tegaleh. Over there, the Imcha over there is going to be not only just his mother by itself, but also when it comes to his mother that's Eshet Aviv, or Eshet Aviv that's not his mother. So that's the Gzeirah Shava that Rabbi Yehuda learns. Based on that Gzeirah Shava, he's able to now have an Azhara and an Onesh. The one additional item that, based on this limud, Rabbi Yehuda is interpreting the word Ervat Avicha in Parshat Achrimot to mean Ervat Avicha is Eshet Avicha. That's what the word means. It means Ervat Avicha doesn't mean literally your father, but rather your father's wife. Based on that, he now has Gzeirah Shava that tells us Eshet Avicha and Imo as an Azhara, and Eshet Aviv and Imo as an Onesh. Now he has the Pasuk of Imchahi. The Imchahi now becomes, or it can reference, is a miut, imchahi, her, and someone not, someone else. So we say imchahi, what's it reference? It's referencing earlier in the pasuk. Earlier in the pasuk, it tells you, if you have ervat avicha and imo together, then it says imchahi. You're only going to be punished for imcha and not eshet aviv. It'll be limited to imcha and will not also include ervat aviv. So now, if that's the case, we've explained the Onish, or the Onshim we find in Parshat Kedoshim. We've explained the first Pasuk in Parshat Achimot, which explains the Azhara for both Eshet Aviv and Imo. also tells us when there's two punishments, we only punish Imo. But then you have the next pasuk which says, "Eret avishir avicha lo tekler v'at avichahi." What does Rabbi Yehuda do with that? So Rabbi Yehuda, with that, says, "Eshir avicha" tells you that "Eshir aviv" is even usher after death. Even after your father passes away, his wife is restricted to you. And the last pasuk of "Eret avicha hu," right? That teaches us, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that if it comes into a situation where you have Eshet Av and Eshet Ish, by definition, an Eshet Av most likely will be an Eshet Ish unless the father has passed away. In that case, Rabbi Yehuda says you're only Chayav for Eshet Av and not for Eshet Ish. So that's the limud of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda now has solved the majority of his problems. Rabbi Yehuda says, the Gzer Sheva tells me that I have an Azhara for both Eshet Aviv and Imo, whether it's both Eshet Aviv and Imo, or just Eshet Aviv, or just Imo. Then I have the onesh will be the same way from this gezeirah shava. I have a miut of imchahi. That miut of imchahi tells me that when I have imo and eshet aviv, I only get punished for one, which is imo. I have the additional pasuk of ervat eshet avicha to tell you that even after your father passes away, there's still a restriction against marrying his wife. And then we have ervat avichahi to teach me, ervat avichahu to teach me that when it comes to eshet ha'av and eshet ish, if they're both there, you only get punished for Eshet Ha'av. That is the position of Rabbi Yehuda. The Chachamim, on the other hand, is on page 2 here. The Chachamim explain, and then we'll go to the Gemara, read through it. Once we have this laid out, it'll be easier to flow through the Gemara, run through the Gemara. The Chachamim, on the other hand, do not have this Gezeirah Shava. If they don't have this Gezeirah Shava, now they're going to run into a problem, which is the basic problem, is where do you get the Azharot from, and where do you get the Onshim from? So now, as far as Azharot, we have the Pasuk Chet, or the second Pasuk in Achimot, it says, Ervat Eshet Avicha Lo Tegalet. So from there, the Chachamim learn Eshet Aviv. That's the Azhara for Eshet Aviv. Now, Ervat Avicha, which Rabbi Yehuda used for the Gzeirah Shava, Chachamim say Ervat Avicha means literally, you're Ervat of your father. You may not have relations with your father. This is an additional restriction against having relations with your father. Even though there's already a restriction in the Torah from having any homosexual relations, there's an additional isur of Ervat Avicha that comes on the top of that. Then, what do they do with the Pasuk Imchahi? The Imchahi comes to teach you there's also an Azhara when it comes to his mother. So now I have an Imchahi, I have an Isur for mother, and I have a Azhara for Eshet Avicha. But if I go to the Onshin, I only have Eshet Aviv. I only have Eshet Aviv, but I don't have a Imo for the Onshin. So that comes from the word Imchahi, the actual word He. Imchahi comes to teach us that, how do I know that you get an onish for Imo that's not Eshet Aviv? How do I know? That we learn out from Rav Sheshe Breid Ravidi, which was quoted by Rava yesterday, which is, Asa Kotuv l'Imo, Shein Eshet Aviv, Ki Imo Shei Eshet Aviv. The fact that the Torah uses the term Imchahi here, Imchahi comes to teach you that Imcha works whether Eshet Aviv, not Eshet Aviv. The definition doesn't matter at all. And therefore, when we go back to the Onshin, when it says Eshet Aviv, we're going to say that the punishment of onish goes for both whether it's Eshet Aviv, or if it's Imo, or it's both. There'll be a punishment. Now, what do they do with their Vat Aviv Gila? Vat Aviv Gila, according to Rabbi Yehuda, was used for the Gzeirah Shava. They use that for Onesh Eshet Aviv Lachar Mita. Teach you that you get a punishment for Aviv after Mita. Their Azhara comes on the Pasuk, the end of the Pasuk Nachrimot of Ervat Avichahu. That's how they know even after death, there's still a restriction of Eshet Aviv. So that's here. Basically, we just laid out the positions of Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. It's going to run through the entire daf here. We'll be able to move very fast, hopefully now, that we just laid out the picture of what's happening over here. So based on that picture, we're going to read the Gemara now. All right, so now it says, Tanya, Kavasi Derova, Ish. Right, it says in the Pasuk, Ish, Ish. So what do we do with the Ish Asher, Ishkav, the Eshet Aviv? What does the term Ish tell us? Ish, Prat the Katan, excludes a Katan. The only person is Chayav, is someone who is of age, not a minor. Asher Ishkav et Eshet Aviv, Mashma. So when it says Asher Ishkav et Eshet Aviv, it sounds like Ben Eshet Aviv Shimo, Ben Eshet Aviv Shelo Imo. It sounds like whether it's his mother or not his mother, this refers to his father's wife. His father's wife, who is his mother, or his father's wife, who is not his mother. But Imo, Sheinit Eshet Aviv, Minayin. How do we know the pasuk here does not address at all the case of Imo by itself in Onshim? Never mentions Imo. So Talmud Omar, Ervat Aviv Gila. So that we have the Pasuk, in the Pasuk says Ervat Aviv Gila, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's used for the Gzeira Shava. Ervat Aviv Gila, Mufne, Lahakish, Ladon Mimenu Gzeira Shava. That's open and available to create the Gzeira Shava. From Ervat Aviv Gila to Ervat Avicha, we create an Gzeira Shava, and that's the Gzeira Shava. The Gemara will come back and explain the Gevara Shava. Talmer Biskila, Oenel Bechad Nechome Mitot Amarot Betorah. What is the punishment for someone who has relations with his father's wife? So we would think, is it skila or is it any mitah that's in the Torah? So it says, Nemar Khan Demehem Bam. The end of the Pasuk says, right, Motim Tushnehem Demehem Bam. But Nemar Ovi Doni Demehem Bam. By an Ovin Yedoni, it also says, Demehem Bam. Malahalan Biskila. Just like by an Ovin Doni, it says specifically there that you get skila. Avkan Biskila. Therefore we get skila. Onesh Shamanu. Now we've explained about the Onshin. The Onshin, we have Eshet Aviv. We have Imo from the Gzera Shava, and that explains Onshim. Azhara Minayin. How do we know by the warning, or by Parashat Achrimot, how do we know that the, both of them exist? Tamal Omar, Ervat Avicha Lo Tegaleh. Says, Ervat Avicha Lo Tegaleh. What is the meaning of Ervat Avicha? It's an ambiguous term. What is Ervat Avicha Lo Tegaleh? What does that mean? Ervat Avicha Zu Eshet Avicha. This is your father's wife. Tamal Omar, Eshet Avicha, Oenu Elo Ervat Avicha Mamash. How do you know it's referring to your father's wife? Maybe it means Ervat Avicha, means literally your father's Erva. Nehemar Kan Ervat Avicha Lo Tegaleh. It says over here in our Pasuk here in Achimot, Ervat Avicha Lo Tegaleh. And then we have the Gzera Shava, Matu, Benerma Lahalan. In Parashat Kedoshim, it says Ervat Aviv Gila. It says Ervat Aviv Gila, that tells you Gzera Shava. Just like Malahalan, just like by Parashat Kedoshim, it says Ervat Aviv Gila, and it has Eshet Aviv over here. So the word Eshet Aviv tells us what type of Ervat Aviv is. So that will tell us here that the Ervat Aviv here is also Eshet Aviv. Malalak du midaber afkan bi ishut akad of midaber. We're talking about a marriage. Umashma, ben Eshet Aviv shimo, ben Eshet Aviv sheine imo. When we say Eshet Aviv, his father's wife, it's irrespective of whether it's his own mother or not his mother. Father's wife means father's wife. That could be his mother, may not be his mother. But, imo sheino Eshet Aviv minayin. How do we know his mother that is not his father's wife, minayin? Tamal Omar, ervat imcha. Right, it says over here that ervat imcha lo tegaleh. So there we know, enli ela ba'azhara. That's only found in Parashat Achrimot, which says ervat imcha lo tegaleh. It specifically says the word imcha over here. Right, but now, how do I know that also applies to the onshin? Right, so, Shasa katuv imo. So what do we say? Only ela ba'azhara. Shasa katuv imo she'ena eshet aviv ki imo she eshet aviv. Onesh minayin, where I know that applies to onesh. Here in Parshat Achrimot it says Ervat Avicha Lo Tegaleh, and in Parshat Kedoshim it says Ervat Aviv Gila, which is the Gzeirah Shav we mentioned earlier. Ma ba'azhara, just like by here by Achrimot, it tells you that Sakatuv Imo Shein Eshet Aviv Kimo Shehi Eshet Aviv, tells you that if it's your mother who's not your father's wife, is it equal to your mother who is your father's wife? Af ba'onish, also over here in the onish, Sakatuv Imo Shein Eshet Aviv Kimo Shehi Eshet Aviv. So imchahi, but now I have the word imchahi. That extra word of imchahi, what am I going to do with that imchahi? Mishum imo ata mechayo, vi ata mechayo, mishum eshet av. So that's Rabbi Yehuda's limud. He has the extra term of imchahi. This is what Rav explained yesterday, that imchahi teaches you that when you have both the isser of imchahi and you have an isser of eshet av, you will only be punished for one, and that is imcha. You only get one out of the two punishments. Again, when it comes to the death penalty, it's irrelevant, because you're going to be killed once. What it's relevant for is that it's b'shogeg, and you'd have to bring two chataot instead of one chatat. For interview, you only bring one chatat and not two chataot. So this is the end of the limud of Rabbi Yehuda. So imchayi mishum imo ata mechayvo v'yata mechayvo mishum eshet av, and this is why we say Tanya Kavasi de Rabba. That's Rabba's explanation for Rabbi Yehuda's position that we ended off yesterday with. Now we're going to start the Rabbanan's position. Over here, the Rabbanan's position, which is on the second page, says Rabbanan ervat avicha mamash. So this is what you were asking, Shaul. The Rabbanan say, we don't have this Gzera Shava. If we don't have the Gzera Shava, then the word Ervat Avicha that's found in Parashat Achrimot is going to be literally Ervat Avicha. So Ervat Avicha means that you have relations with your father. So when it says, Hi, Me'ed of Zachar, we have that already. We have an explicit pasuk for Mishkav Zachar, for homosexuality. Why do I need an additional pasuk? So Mar says, the Chayav Alav Shtayim. In that case, you're going to be chayev too. Someone who sleeps with their father in a homosexual act will not only be chayev for homosexuality, but also will be chayev for ervat avicha. So that's what Chachamim say. Uchad Rabbi Yehuda, and this is like the position of Rabbi Yehuda. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Nochri, Abal Aviv, a non-Jew who sleeps with his father, Chayav Shtayim, he's Chayav for twice. He has two, one for homosexuality, one for sleeping with his father. Abal Achayaviv, someone who sleeps with his uncles, Chayav Shtayim is also Chayav Shtayim, because again over there it uses the term Ervat Avicha. So Ervat Avicha is also going to be literally Avicha. So if it's literally Avicha, that means that you're going to be Chayav for sleeping with either your uncles or your father, once for homosexuality and once for Ervat Avicha. So if that's the case, Amarava, first of all, Mistavra Milso de Rav Yehuda b'Yisrael, b'Shogeg u'b'Karban. Let's be clear here. Rav Yehuda's statement about what's going on here is clearly talking about Yisrael b'Shogeg and a Karban. Why? Because if you're talking about Yisrael b'Mezid, we already said that's two death penalties. Two death penalties you can't get. And if we're talking about a Nochri, b'hai dekamei Nochri, lishnam al Yehu. The reason he used the term Nochri is a nice way of saying it. They didn't want to implicate a Jew in this type of behavior. D'isakadatcha Nochri mamash. Because if you thought it was really a Nochri, dinomai. What is the din of a Nochri who sleeps with his father as a homosexual act? Right? So dinomai nihu katala. He gets killed. Betray Katle, Katle, how are you going to kill him twice? And we know that when it comes to a Ben Noach, right, that Azharato, right, to Mitato, that there is no such thing as Shogeg by the Nachrim or by a Ben Noach. Therefore, a Shogeg and a Mezid get the same punishment. So over here, for a Ben Noach who sleeps with his father or as a homosexual act, even though he's going to be chayav twice, in all instances, the Nachri is going to be chayav misa, and you can't kill somebody twice. So it must be the Rabbi Yehuda's statement was made about a Jew, b'shogeg. And that's why you're chayav twice over here. Tanya Nami Ochi, we have a braisa that supports this understanding. Habal Aviv, chayav shtayim. Habal Achayaviv, says his uncles, chayav shtayim. Some say to look Rabbi Yehuda. The Rabbi Yehuda would not agree to this. Why? Because Rabbi Yehuda says or interprets Ervat Avicha not to literally be your father, but to be Eshet Avicha. V'ikadamei afila tamer Rabbi Yehuda. That even Rabbi Yehuda will agree this. Umayti la b'kal v'chomer me'chei aviv. And he learns it out from a kal v'chomer from uncles. By uncles, clearly he learns Ervat Avicha to mean literally Avicha. And therefore, when it comes to an uncle, you're chayav shtayim, once for ervat avicha, one for homosexuality. And therefore, I'll say kal v'chomer. The only reason you're chayav for your uncle is because they're related through your father. So certainly, with your father, you should be chayav shtayim. Ah, what are you going to tell me? That's ein onshin min adin. You're not allowed to bring punishments through a kal v'chomer, through a logical argument. So ma chayav aviv de kurva da aviv hu chayav shtayim aviv lo koshkein bekamiflegei beplukta da bayi v'rovo. That is a machlokas of a bayi v'rovo that we're going to have later. We're going to have in about 20 da from now. Mar savar onshin min adin. Umar savar ein onshin min adin. Their machlokas is whether you can be onesh min adin, whether you can be onesh min kal v'chomer or not. And Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim will argue on that same point. Whether a father we'll get two punishments for a homosexual act for the father, will be subject to this machlokas. According to the opinion that says on Shimon Adin, according to Rabbi Yehuda, then you'll have the same opinion by Rabbi Yehuda and their Chachamim. They both will say you get two, right, punishments. So you have two shigagot here, two chataot are brought. And then if you say ain on Shimon Adin, then Rabbi Yehuda will disagree with the Chachamim. The Chachamim will say two, and Rabbi Yehuda will say one. Right, so now that was just a diversion, a sidetrack, just to show us that is possible, that you could have these two chiyuvim when it comes to a homosexual act. So all we've left off so far for the Chachamim's position is that ervat avicha literally means avicha. So now, v'rabbonon azhara le'eshet aviv minalahu. So if they learn ervat avicha to literally mean your father, where do they have a warning? Where do they have a restriction against sleeping with your father's wife? There's no pasuk, that's not mentioned anywhere in this pasuk. Well, that is actually mentioned in the next pasuk, a pasuk chet, which is ervat eshet avicha lo tegaleh. It's explicit there. Eshet avicha lo tegaleh. So that's where they're going to learn it from. Now, if you go me ervat eshet avicha lo tegaleh, Rabbi Yehuda, what does Rabbi Yehuda do with that? So that we spoke about already. What does Rabbi Yehuda do with Eshet Avicha Lo Tegaleh? He doesn't need that because he already learned out the warning from Eshet Avicha. So what does he do with this extra air at the Eshet Avicha? Comes to teach you, to tell you that your father's wife is restricted to you even after death, meaning after the death of your father, that woman is still restricted to you. So that's how he learns it out. V'rabonon, where their Rabbanon know that din, that even after death, you're still restricted to your father's wife. How me safe in the Quran? They learn out at the end of the Pasuk, which is, Ervat Avicha Hi. It's in the Pasuk Ched, Ervat Avicha Hi. That teaches you that she's always Ervat Avicha, even after your father passes away. So what does Rabbi Yehuda do with this Ervat Avicha? How me by lay mishum eshet av, atamechayovo, v'yatamechayovo mishum eshet ish. This is the other opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, which is that when you have both Ervat Eshet Aviv, it's your father's wife, and she's a married woman. She's married to your father. So you violate two Isurim. You violate the Isur of Eshet Ish, and you violate the Isur of Eshet Av. So when you violate both Isurim, are you chayav for two? Or are you only chayav for one? Along comes Rabbi Yehuda and says, Ervat Avicha Hi. You're only chayav. Ervat Avicha Hi is a miut, and the miut tells you one and not two. You're only chayav for Ervat Aviv, but not for Eshet Ish. The Chachamim don't have that miut, and therefore you'll be chayav shtayim in that case. Vanan Tnan, what about our Mishnah? Our Mishnah mentions exactly this case. Habal Eshet Av, Chayav Alem Mishum Eshet Av. Someone who sleeps with their father's wife is Chayav for Eshet Av. Umishum Eshet Ish. And also for Eshet Ish, Ben B'Chayaviv, Ben Achar Mitat Aviv, whether the father's alive or dead. Velo Polig Rabbi Yehuda. And that part of the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda does not argue. He only argues on the earlier part of the Mishnah when it came to Eshet Aviv and Imo. But he never argued when it was Eshet Aviv and Eshet Ish. So Rabbi Polik Bebraisa. You're right. In our Mishnah, it's not found, but that argument, the Rabbi Yehuda's argument, is found in the Braisa, where he does argue on them. All right. So now we dealt with the Azharot for the Chachamim. Now the Rabbanan Onesh the Eshet Aviv Achar Mita Menaluhu. How do they know that an Eshet Aviv after death is punished? Rabbi Yehuda doesn't have this problem because he has the Gezeirah Shavah. The Gezeirah Shavah tells you anything that applies to Eshet Aviv applies to Imo. Everything that applies to Imo applies to Eshet Aviv. So the Gezeirah Shavah will also teach us that if the definition of Eshet Aviv even applies after the death of the father, so just like we will have an Azhara for that, we'll also have an Onish for that. Chachamim who don't have the Gezeirah Shavah, where they know that Eshet Aviv after death is punished. What's the punishment? So Bishlam are you the mighty love Gezeirah Shavah? He'll get it from the Gezeirah Shavah. The Rabbanon Minolahu. So Amir Lecha, how Ervat Aviv Gila? They have the Pasuk. They don't have this Gezeirah Shavah. So just like they don't have Ervat Avicha from the Gezeirah Shavah, they also don't have Ervat Aviv Gila that Rabbi Yehuda used for the Gezeirah Shavah. So what do they do with this Ervat Aviv Gila? It's Mavikla Yehuda the Gezeirah Shavah that Rabbi Yehuda used for Gezeirah Shavah. Mavikla Yehuda the Onish the Eshet Aviv. They teach us that of the Onish of Eshet Aviv, Achar Mita. To tell you that's the punishment for an Eshet Aviv, Achar Mita. The Rabbanan Onish Limo, Sheinu Eshet Aviv Menaluhu. According to the Chachamim, where do we get Imo, the literal Imo here? We have Imo, Imcha Hi, which is Imcha Lo Tegaleh Ervata. Alright, Imcha Hi. So that's Ervat Imcha Lo Tegaleh Imcha Hi. That we have a warning for, an Azhara for Imo, that's not Eshet Aviv. But Imo is never mentioned in the Pasuk of Onshin. It's never mentioned there. Where do you know that Imo gets an Onish? Where's the Onish from? So Amar Rav Shisha Breid the Rabbi Yidi. This is what was quoted by Rabbi yesterday. That Amar Rav Shisha Breid, Amar Kura, the Pasuk says, Imcha Hi. Well, the Chachamim have this extra term, Imchahi. According to Rabbi Yehuda, Imchahi was a miut. Why? Because you read Eshet Aviv from Ervat Avicha, so Imchahi was referencing that Eshet Aviv. So that comes to be a miut. Chachamim, who don't have Ervat Avicha here at all, when it comes to say Imchahi here, it's going to be an inclusionary term, not an exclusionary term. Imchahi comes to teach you that no matter what, Imchahi, which is Asaka Tuvli Mo Shein Eshet Aviv, Kimo Shehi Eshet Aviv. It equates your mother who is not Eshet Aviv to your mother who is Eshet Aviv. Your mother who is Eshet Aviv, we already know from Eshet Aviv in the Onshin. So if the punishment we know for Eshet Aviv, who is Imo, two, the equation says that there's no difference between a mother who's Eshet Aviv and a mother who's not Eshet Aviv, or Eshet Aviv who is a mother, Eshet Aviv is not a mother. They're all one package. They're all one package in the end, then you can give Onish for Imo as well. Right, that is the Machokas, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. And on the charts there, the first two charts lay out. You can look at them again afterwards. Lay out. They take each of the psukim and dissect each of those words and show you where the limud for each of them is. The Chachamim on the second page and Rabbi Yehuda on the first page. Now we have Abal Kalato. Abal Kalato presents an interesting problem. Why? The Chayiv Nami Mishum Eshet Beno. Right? You have two Isurim. When it comes to a daughter-in-law, someone who sleeps with their daughter-in-law is not only violates the Isra of Kalato, but also Eshet Bino. Why? Because as I read the pasuk to you, Ervat Kalatcha lo tegaleh, Eshet Bincha hi lo tegaleh Ervata. The pasuk starts out with Kalatcha, but then ends with Eshet Bino. So there are two different terms. One is Kalatcha, one is Eshet Bino. So why aren't you Chayav for each one? Kalatcha and Eshet Bino. So Amar Abai, Potocha katu bekalato b'si'em b'Eshet Bino. This is different than Eshet Aviv v'Imo, where we have two separate terms in the pasuk and they're different psukim, even in a sense. Over here, it's one pasuk which begins with Kalatcha and then switches to Eshet Bino to tell you Lomar lecha zui kalato zui Eshet Bino, that they're synonymous. Over here, they're not different terms, but it's synonymous terms. Why did the pasuk switch? Why did the pasuk switch from Kalatcha to Eshet Bincha? Why did the pasuk switch? That's to teach you to be mechayev even lachar misa. To tell you that you're chayav on, even when she's no longer your daughter-in-law, but she was your son's wife, you're still chayav. If your son, chas v'shalom, passes, if someone's son passes away, chas v'shalom, then there's still a restriction of Eshet Bino, even though she's no longer Kalatcha, no longer your daughter-in-law. Right. And it would be also the same thing with divorce. All right, that's the end of this part. Next sugya, we're going to continue from what we had in the previous mitzvah, is who is chayav in skila. So ba ala zachor ve'ala behema v'shiyam yiviyat behema biskila. So over here we said that a person, if there's a homosexual act or a behema, there's bestiality from both aspects, from a man sleeping with a animal or a animal that's being brought on a woman. Over there they get skila. But not only does the individual get skila, but the behema gets skila. So, imadam chata, behema ma chata. Right? Just because the person did something wrong, why is the behema at fault over here? The behema doesn't have free choice. Right? The person created the problem. So, it says, elofi sheba adam takala al yada. Because this animal caused the problem or caused someone to sin or become chayav, michshol avon. Lefika chamar katuv tisakel. Therefore, the Torah says, put this animal to death because it caused something bad for an individual. Again, even though they were, in a sense, passive here, because it was the human being that encouraged them to act in this way and cause the behavior, nevertheless, because it caused something bad for an individual, we say put them to death. Davar acher, shlote behema overet b'shuk. So now what's going to happen now? This animal is going to start walking around the shuk. This is the animal that caused so-and-so to be put to death. And that's a bushan, a clone for this individual. So in order to be careful about the busha of individuals as well as the behema itself, we say put it to death so that there's no memory of this bad act or this unfortunate act.
Also, there's the idea that it sparks
Lashon Hara. Yeah, that's a nice idea also, that it might spark Lashon Hara over here. So we take on the third page of the handout that I gave you, right now we're up to Mishkav Zachar. Now the Gemara is going to run into the same problem we had before, which is that we have two psukim. One pasuk that deals with the azhara, and one pasuk that deals with the onesh. Again, the azhara is always found in Parshat Acharei Mot, and the onesh is found in Parshat Kiddushim. So the pasuk, and I'll quote you the psukim now, and then we'll read through it in the Gemara. Pasuk says, "V'eit zachar lo tishkav mishkivei isha to'eva hi." That's the azhara, that you can't have homosexual act because it's a to'eva. Then it says in Vayikra Perachaf in the Onesh when it comes to Parshat Kedoshim, Ish Asher Ishkav Et Zachar Mishkivei Isha Toiva Asu Shnehem Mot Yumtu Dmehem Bom. So here again, the punishment for homosexuality. And here the Gemara is going to darshan each of these psukim. First, going to darshan the Onshin from Parshat Kedoshim. Then it's going to come up with a question. That question is going to bring us to the next step of the Gemara. So let's start. And Parak Chof is always Parak Kedoshim, is the Onish, and Parak Yudchat is Parak Remot, is always the Azhara, is the warning or the lav, the restriction against doing it.
This Ben Gadol Ben Katan doesn't sound very good.
Right.
If a man is sleeping with a 4-year-old boy,
right,
both of them should be killed.
No, but he will be chayav. Even though the child is not a Bar Onshin, he will be killed for sleeping with that child. The adult will be put to death. The child will not be put to death. Correct. Right. No, but shnehem is only when they're baron shin. They have to be punishable. But a katan is not. That's the gemara's now. It's a zachar minolan. How do we know it? The Tan Rabbanan ish. Pasuk begins Ish in Parashat Kedoshim, Prat leKatan, excludes a Katan. A Katan who does acts in homosexuality will not be put to death. He's not a Bar Onshim. Asher Yishkaved Zachar, who sleeps with a male. The male here can be Ben Gadol, Ben Katan. That's what you were asking just now. It can be whether he's a minor or he's of age. The passive party in the homosexual act. So that individual, well, the one who's the active party here, will be put to death. Even though the other one is not put to death, the katan is not put to death, nevertheless he will be chayav misav for a homosexual act with this katan. Mishkevei isha. So the term used there is mishkevei isha, which is plural form. So magid lecha katuv. The pasuk comes to teach you sheshnei mishkevot beisha, that there are two ways to sleep with a woman. There's a kidarka and there's shelo kidarka. And here we learn from this that mishkevei isha, that no matter which way you sleep with a woman, you are chayav. If a woman is restricted to you, whether you sleep with her or kidarka, whether you sleep with her shelo kidarka, you violated the isur and you're going to be chayav. That comes from this word mishkevei Isha, to teach you that there are two mishkavot that you're always chayav. This we thought was going to come to teach us something about mishkav zachar, that mishkav isha is going to teach us something. In the end, it ends up teaching. It ends up teaching us something about mishkav isha, which is that they applies to all cases of mishkav isha, that there are two ways to sleep with them, because it's not relevant by mishkav zachar. By mishkav zachar, there's only one way, right, to have relations. Because there aren't those two possibilities. If there are no two possibilities, Mishkevei Isha is not relevant to Mishkav Zachar. Must be, it's referring to sleeping with a woman. If it's sleeping with a woman, now it taught us something about relations with a woman, which is that there are two ways to have relations with a woman, and both of them will make you chayav. Mot yum tu biskila. So mo yum tu b'sal, we'll put to death by skila. Ata omer biskila, o'enu ba'achat mikol mitot amarot b'torah. How do you know it's skila, not any other mitah? Ne'emar kan d'mehem bam. It says d'mehem bam, v'ne'emar v'ovi donim d'mehem bam. Right, so since he uses the term d'mehem bam, malala biskila, avkan biskila. Right, so now the Gemara says again, onesh shamanu. That toy with an onesh. Azhara minayin. How do we know? Where's the lav that tells you you're not allowed to have homosexual behavior? Tamal over. That we know from Parshat Achrimot, that zachar lo tishkav mishkevei isha toiva hi. So now, lamanu azhara lishochev. We have an azhara, now a warning for someone who sleeps. A homosexual act involves two parties. One party is, I'll call him the active party, and one party is the passive party. We'll call him that way. So now the shochev, the active party, that's what's mentioned in the pasuk. As zachar lo tishkav. Lo tishkav is an active verb. You can't have homosexual act. But azhara l'nishkav, one who is the passive party, but a willing passive party, or the recipient of the mishkav zachar, how do we know that, where's there an isur to that? Where's there an azhara? It only mentions the active form of lo tishkav. There's no passive form, minayin. Tamal omar, lo yeh kadesh mi b'nei Yisrael. That's what we're going to bring from the pasuk of lo yeh kadesh. Well, lo yeh kadesh means that sounds like someone who is sleeping with inappropriate people. But how do you know that refers to over here? Because we have a pasuk in Melachim. Pasuk in Melachim talks about in Rechavam, that the people of Yehuda, Rechavam, the son of Shlomo, in that time the people start to do all the bad things. One of the bad things that they also happen is v'gam kadesh hayah baretz. There were prostitutes, right? All over the land, asu kichol ha-to'avot ha-goyim asher horish, and they did all like the abominations of the goyim that they inherited the land from. So you see the word to'avot used over here, and we know that the word to'ava is also used by mishkav zachar. So when it says over here in the pasuk begam kadesh hayah baretz, what's the definition of kadesh? Does it just mean prostitution, or based on the pasuk it says it includes to'avot? What are to'avot? Mishkav zachar means homosexuality. So the term kadesh now we see from the pasuk in Melachim not only refers to kadesh, which is inappropriate relations with a woman, but also refers to mishkav zachar. So therefore, when I have the pasuk lo yeh kadesh mibnei Yisrael, that is a warning for any inappropriate action or any inappropriate homosexual act, whether you are the active party or the passive party. Even the passive party is going to be chayav, because there's no differentiation. By to'avot, to'eva, either part is a to'eva. So now that's Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. That's where Rabbi Shmuel learns out the azhara from. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Eino Tzarich. You don't need that. Harei hu Omer, Vetzachar lo tishkav. The pasuk says, Azachar lo tishkav. Tishkav is the active form of the verb. Mishkevei isha karibei. The pasuk says it's a chad lotishka mishkeisha. Kari bay, you can read it, right? The Torah doesn't have nikudot, so the word lotishka can also be written loti shachev. Loti shachev is the passive verb of lotishkav. So Rabbi Yehuda says you read the word lotishkav and loti shachev. You learn both of them. The azarai applies to both the active party and the passive party in a homosexual act. So that's the, according to, this is Mishkav Zachar. According to Mishkav Zachar, again, we have the limud from the Psukim, the Machlokas, so the key Machlokas here that's going to be discussed again in the Gemara, between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Shmuel says that the Azhara, for the passive party in a homosexual act, it comes from Lo Yeh Kadesh Mi Bnei Yisrael. And then Rabbi Akiva believes it comes from the Pasuk itself of Lo Tishkav, Lo Tishachev. Right now we're going to move on to Behema. Behema is found on page 4. And Behema, it says here, we also have two psukim by Behema. The Gemara says, again, we're going to dissect these psukim. We have the pasuk, the azhara from Parshat Achrimot by Behema, which says, "Ubechol Behema lo titein shchobtecha l'tam abba, v'isha lo ta'amod lifnei Behema l'rav'a tevel hi." Right, so that over there, that's the restriction, the azara, not to have bestiality. It works in both directions. Direction of the man being the active party or the woman who's using the animal as an active party over here. But I didn't bring you, there's Tedvav and Tedzayin in Kedoshim. Tedzayin is the restriction, the onesh for a woman who performs bestiality. The Gemara here is only discussing a man. It says, V'ish, she'ten shchavto bebehema, man who sleeps with an animal, mot yumat, v'et habehema, tarogu. That's the onesh, the punishment for someone who sleeps with an animal. So now the Gemara is going to discuss it. Tarabanan, ish. The word ish that's used by Parshat Kedoshim is prat lekatan. Katan is not chayav if he sleeps with an animal. He's not a born onshin. Asher iten shchavto bebehema. That he sleeps with a behema, ben gdola, ben ktana. The behema, whether it's big or it's of age or not of age, I'm not exactly sure what that reference, gdola and ktana, mean by a behema. I guess you have to use the terms that we use by korban, like an egla that turns into a para, or a shor and an ayo or a keves, that as they get older they change their status. So it applies to all animals. I'm assuming that's what the Gemara means over here. Mot yumat, so it says mot yumat biskila, it gets stoned to death. How do you know your skila here? So never kantarogu. The pasuk says the end of patarogu. Never lahalan, and it says by a mesit. A mesit, and by sefer dvarim, it says ki harog tehargenu. Malahalan biskila, just like a mesit is by skila. So to avkan biskila. Also over here, we're going to have skila. The manu onish l'shochev. That is true by a man. A man has two possibilities of performing, or even a woman does, but a man has two possibilities of performing bestiality. He can either be the active party and sleep with a female animal, or he can be the passive party, meaning that he can have a male animal perform Mishkav Zachar with the man. Right, so therefore the man could be both the active or the passive party, can be either one. So now we say, Lamanu Onish L'Shochev, the one who sleeps with an animal, because it says, Isha Shaitan Shchavto. Shchavto is the active verb to sleep with the animal, meaning that he is the active party and sleeping with a female animal. How do I know that Onish L'Nishkav Minalan? How do I know if the man is the passive party? I mean, he brings a male animal and has the male animal sleep in a homosexual manner with him. How do I know that there's an Onish? Tamalomer, that's when the Pasuk in Parashat Mishpatim, Kol Shochev Im Behema Mot Yumat. Anyone who sleeps with an animal, Mot Yumat. Wait a minute, Kol Shochev also is an active verb. But what's the problem here? Now we have two psukim with the active verb in it. So that's what it says. Imeinu inyan l'shochev, tenu inyan nishkav. Since I have two psukim that tell me about a punishment and onesh, both are talking about the active shochev, we'll take one of them and say, use it for nishkav. So now lamad onesh. Now we know by the onesh about shochev and nishkav. Ben shochev, ben nishkav. Azhara minayin. Where do we know the azhara? Now by the azhara, in Parashat Achrimot, it says, v'chol be'ima lo titen shchovtecha. Shchovtecha, again, is the active verb of shochev. Right, so if we have the active verb, it says, that teaches you the active, when the man is the active party and there's a female behema, then that's the azhara. But the nishkav minayin, where is the azhara for a man who brings a behema on him? Meaning that a male behema that he has sleep homosexually with him. Tamalomar lo ye kadesh mi bnei Yisrael. Sounds familiar? Right, lo ye kadesh mi bnei Yisrael, that's the same pasuk used by Rabbi Yishmael before to teach us about the passive party, the nishkav by a homosexual act. Why? Because he brings the pasuk again from Malachim, Omer v'gam kadesh haya ba'aretz, and it says, according to Rashi, it says toavot. So, dear Rabbi Yishmael, toavot is also used over here, right? The Torah describes the act of bestiality as a toeva. And since it's also a toeva, and the act there mentions the word toavot, how do we know that bestiality is a toeva? Because at the end of Parshat Arayot, it says, don't do kachol toevot asher goyim asher lifneichem. Don't do like all these bad things that the goyim before you did. So therefore we know the Behemah is also called toeva, and it's included in that pasuk. The question, the obvious question that Tosfos asks, where's way? If you think toeva refers to, right, Behemah, because it's the end of the parsha has it on all the arayot, then all the arayot are called toevot. So why not include an extra azhara for all the arayot? So Tosfos says, I don't think that's the way to learn it, but rather that it's because of batar, it's written, the restriction of bestiality is written immediately after homosexuality in the Torah. Homosexuality says toivahi, it's a toiva, and then it says with the vav afterwards, there's a vav, uvchol behema, uvchol, that vav connects it to the previous pasuk. So in pasuk, we saw before by Zachar, in pasuk chavvet, by Mishkav Zachar, right, the end of the pasuk is, ve'ed zachar lo tishka mishkvei isha toivahi, that's the end of pasuk chavvet. Chav gimel begins, behema, uvchol behema. Uvichol Behemah ties you to the toiva in the previous pasuk. Therefore, Tosfos says toiva applies both to bestiality and to homosexuality. And therefore, now we have an azhara for both of them, according to Rabbi Yishmael, that we know from the man being a passive party in bestiality, he will be has an azhara from Lod Yekadesh. That's where he's going to learn from. Rabbi Kiva says, I don't need that. Again, Rabbi Yishmael says, says, again, there are no nikudot. You can read it, shchovtecha, or lo tikein shchivatcha. Right? You can have both the active verb or the passive verb. You can, if you change the nikudot around, the word can be read as shchovtecha, which is the active form of sleeping, or shchivatcha, which is the passive form of sleeping. And therefore, Rabbi Yekiva says it's out of the pasuk itself. You have both the azhara for the active form and the passive form come for lotitein shchovtecha. Now we're going to come to the nafkamina, and this is what the next Gemara about, the nafkamina between the position of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. So now the Gemara says, okay, haba ala zachor, vevi alav zachor. So if you go back to page 3, where we talked about mishkavei zachor, we talked about homosexuality. What happens if a person over here is now engaged in both activities? He both was the active participant in homosexuality and was the passive party. He did both. He did both behelam echad. One helam, he did both of them. How many restrictions or how many chataot does he have to bring? Well, now that will depend, according to Rabbi Bo, according to whether it's Rabbi Shmuel or Rabbi Akiva. Ba'al zachor v'yalav zachar. Now, Amar Rabbi Bo, the divrei Rabbi Shmuel chayav shtayim. According to Rabbi Shmuel, Yechayv Shtayim, why? Chada malo tishkav. You have one restriction against lo tishkav, which is the active form of sleeping. V'chada mi lo yekadesh. And the other one is from lo yekadesh, which teaches us the azhara for the passive form. The divrei Rabbi Akiva ino chayv alachat. But according to Rabbi Akiva, you only be chayv once. Why? Lo tishkav, lo tishachayv, chadehi. He learns the azhara from the same word in the pasuk. And since he learns it from the same one, there's only one azhara. If there's one azara, you can only be one chayav, one chatat. Even though you've had two actions that are restricted by this pasuk, there's only one word in the pasuk, which is lo tishkav. Even though you read it as lo tishkav and lo tishachev, nevertheless, it's only one time mentioned in the pasuk. Therefore, you only chayav achat. That is according to Rabbi Abo in explaining the difference in the position of Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. Now we're going to move on to bestiality again. What's an afkamina between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva by bestiality? So again, you'll have the same type of idea. By bestiality, you're going to say, by abala behema, vevi behema alav. Right? If your person both sleeps actively with a behema and is a passive recipient of an act of homosexuality from a behema, a bestiality from the behema, on that, I'm rebel. Udivir Rabbi Shmuel chayav shtayim. According to Rabbi Shmuel, you're going to be chayav twice. Chadam ilo titen shchovticha, which is a restriction against sleeping with an animal. Chadam ilo yekadesh. And the second restriction from lo yekadesh, that you cannot be the passive participant in bestiality. The divrei Rabbi Akiva ino chayav alachat. According to Rabbi Akiva, you're only going to be chayav one. Why? Shchavtcha u'shchivatcha. How did Rabbi Kiva know that there's a restriction both on the active and passive? He learned that. Lo titen shchavtcha and lo titen shchivatcha. It's all from the same pasuk, the same words. Even though we learn two ways from the same pasuk, but it's only one azhara. That one azhara, chadahi. It's all one, and you only chayav one according to Rabbi Kiva for these two different acts. Abaye disagrees with Rabbi Bo and says no. Even according to Rabbi Shmuel, you only chayav one here. Wait, Rabbi Bo is right. Rabbi Shmuel has two restrictions. He has one restriction of lo yitein shchavtecha, and his other restriction of lo yekadesh. So no, chiktiv lo yekadesh begavrei ktiv. Abaye says, Rabbi Bo, you're wrong. The source for the azhara of bestiality cannot come for lo yekadesh. The word kadesh is only used in human relations. Human relations, kadesh, it can only be between a man and a woman, or a man and a man. You cannot use the terminology of kadesh by a man to animal relationship. And therefore, that cannot be the azhara. El Rabbi Shmuel, azhara nishkab min ole. According to Rabbi, now that you took away the azhara for Rabbi Shmuel, where's his azhara for the being a passive party in bestiality? So nafkalei mikol shochev im behema mot yumat. That's from the pasuk of Mishpatim, which says, kol shochev im behema mot yumat, im eno inyan shochev, tineu li inyan nishkab. Over there, that was by onesh. By onesh, we say, since we don't need it for the onesh and the active party, we're going to use it for the passive party. V'afkei rachman al nishkab l'shon shochev. Wait a minute, but now it's very nice that you're doing that. You have two times the Torah says shochev gets punished. So, but why did the Torah write it that way? Why did the Torah just write nishkab in one of the two cases and we'd be fine? So that's what Rabbi Shmuel teaches us. The reason that he wrote it b'lashon shochev, mash shochev anash b'izir, af nishkav avinash b'izir, that comes to teach you that we're going to draw a parallel between them. Just like by shochev, we have an azhara and an onish, so too by nishkav, we're going to have an azhara and an onish, because we're going to parallel the two. The fact that the Torah wrote the onish for nishkav in the terminology of shochev teaches that shochev equals nishkav. Shochev equals nishkav, that means both for azhara and onish, they are equal to each other. So based on that, if that's the case, what's the source, again, for Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shmuel now? What's his source for the passive form? The source of the passive form is the same one as the active form. And then Rabbi Shmuel will agree to Rabbi Akiva that you only have one isur over here now. Harnir ba, so the next case, this is on the last page here of your, the last page of the handout. Here you have two cases that involve a little more complexity over here. Anirba the Zachar, Vanirba the Behema. Someone was a passive party in a homosexual act and was also a passive party in bestiality, a man. In both these cases. Amaribo, Rabbi says, the Divrei Rabbi Akiva Chavishtaim. According to Rabbi Akiva, Chavishtaim. Why? What's the source for the passive chiyuv by a Zachar for Rabbi Akiva? That comes from Lo. Where is the nirba the behema? What's the restriction? Where does Rabbi Yehuda learn? Where does Rabbi Akiva learn that from? He learns that from lo titen shchavtecha and lo titen shchivatcha. So he has two separate psukim, one for behema and one for homosexuality. Therefore, you're going to chayiv two. On the other hand, right? Chadam lo tishachev, chadam lo titen shchivatcha. The divrei Rabbi Shmuel inu chayiv alachat. According to Rabbi Shmuel, they chayiv one. Why? Idi v'idi lo yekadeshu. According to him, what's the restriction for passive parties both by homosexuality and by behema? Is lo yekadesh. That's the azara. It's the same azara for both. So therefore, you're only going to be chayav one. Again, Abaye stands up and says no. Abaye Amar, no. Afil Rabbi Shmuel, nami chayav shtayim. You're going to Rabbi Shmuel, you chayav shtayim. Why? What's the reasoning behind Abaye? So again, by Abaye, Abaye says that lo yekadesh is the azara for the passive party by homosexuality, but you can't use lo yekadesh by behema. How do we learn out a passive party by behema? That we learn out from that use the term shochev, and from there we learn since it's extraneous, we don't need shochev again. We take it to nishkav. And why did he use the lashon shochev to describe a passive party of nishkav? So now Rabbi Shmuel also has two sources for the passivity by homosexuality, passivity by bestiality. Never you'll be chayav shtayim according to Abaye. Now the last case here is the last case. Aval haba ala zochor bevi zachar alav. Abala beima bevi beima alav. This person did all, he did the works. Right, he both was the active party in homosexual act, a passive party in this homosexual act. He was the active party in bestiality and the passive party. He did all four. Ben the Rabbi Bo, ben the Abaye. Whether you hold like Rabbi Bo or whether you hold like Abaye, the Rabbi Shmuel chayev shalosh, you're chayev three. According to Rabbi Shmuel and the Rabbi Kiva, Chayiv Shtayim. According to Rabbi Akiva, you're Chayiv Shtayim. What are the, by Rabbi Kiva it's easier. The Chayiv Shtayim by Rabbi Kiva is very simple. Rabbi Kiva has Lo Tishachev and Lo Tishkav. That's only one restriction. You can't have two restrictions. So for Mishkav Zachar, you only get one Isur. And Lo Titein Shchav Techa and Lo Titein Shiv Chavatcha is also only one Azhara. So both the active and passive form of Behema, you only get one restriction. So therefore you have two, you're Chayiv two, one for homosexuality and one for bestiality. Whether the manifestation is active or passive, all come from the same pasuk. Therefore, you can only be chayav once. So that's Rabbi Kiva's position. Rabbi Shmuel is three. Will depend on whether you hold like Rabbi Bo or hold like Rabbi Abaye. According to Rabbi Bo, which I have over here, Baal Azachar, the person who is the active participant in homosexual act, you learn that out from Lotish Gav. If he's a charalav, the passive party, according to Rabbi Bo, is Milo Ye Kadesh. Oh yeah, Kadesh. Now, Bala Behema, active party by a Behema or bestiality, is Milo Titein Shchav Techa. Ah, passive by a Behema or bestiality, what's the restriction according to Rabbi Yehuda? Lo Yeh Kadesh. You can't have Lo Yeh Kadesh twice. You can't have Lo Yeh Kadesh be the Yisr for the passive by homosexuality and passive by Behema. Even though in this case we're talking about two gufot. We're talking about two different people. You're talking about a Behema and a person. They're actually two different parties that are creating the act, but since they're both done in one helam, and he's a passive party over here, he can't have Lo Yeh Kadesh, will not be mechayev them twice. That's according to Rabbi Bo. According to Abaye, what are the three here? The three here are Bala Zachar, his active party by homosexuality is Me'ed Zachar Lo Tishkav. Right? The Hevi Zachar Alav, that is the passive party in homosexual act, comes from Lo Yeh Kadesh. By Behema, how do we know the active party is Milo Titein Shchav Techa? Where do we know about the passive party by Behema according to Abaye? That we learn out from Shochev Nishkav, that they're equal. But there's only one Azhara, that's Lo Titein Shchav Techa. So there's only one Azhara, both for the active and passive, you can only be Mechayevim once for bestiality, but it's the active and passive, and therefore you only have three Yisurim. So whether according to Rabbi Bo, whether according to Abaye, you have three Yisurim, but according to Rabbi Shmuel, by the case where they're both active and passive party by homosexuality, active passive party by bestiality, according to Rabbi Akiva, you're chayav twice. Tan Rabbanan, Zachor lo asabo katan kibdo. By Mishkav Zachar, if the active party is a katan and not a gadol, then we don't equate that. Behema, by bestiality, it doesn't matter the age of the animal. Katana gdola, the animal, it doesn't matter how old it is. How old it is, they're still considered or problematic in terms of the onshin here. My lo asubo katan kigadol. What does that mean? So Amar Rav, lo asab biat pachod mi teisha shanim keben teisha shanim. They did not make the bi'ah of a child under the age of 9 like the bi'ah of a child over the age of 9. When it comes to the bi'ah of a child over the age of 9, that's considered a proper bi'ah or a real bi'ah. And he can be mechayev, kol arayot shebetorah. If the child is above the age of 9, then he has bi'ah, and the person who is slept with him, the woman who slept with this individual, will be chayav mita. If he's below 9, it's not classified as bi'ah. Below 9, there's no bi'ah. Therefore, the person's not chayav. So same thing will apply by, we're saying that above 9 is considered to be a bi'ah, but below 9 is not. And that's the differentiation between katan and gadol. Shmuel amar lo asav bi'ah pachot mi ben shalosh shanim ke ben shalosh shanim. So, Rav says that we're talking about 9, like any other case of a katan or a boy, which is 9 years old is the threshold. Now then Shmuel Kalman says no. And Shmuel says that the threshold over here is 3 years old. So that, why is the threshold over here 3 years old if everywhere else it's 9 years old? So by Mifkali, what are they arguing about here? Rav Savar called Ite Bishochev Ite Binishkav. Right, whoever can be an active shochev also can be the nishkav, can be the recipient or passive party. So whoever is not the active party also cannot be the passive party. So therefore, if the child is above the age of 9, above the age of 9 is considered real bia. Therefore, someone who sleeps with a child, a male who sleeps with a child over the age of 9, will be chayav. But he sleeps with a child below the age of 9, he will not be chayav, because there's an equation between the ability to be mechayev and the ability, right, where he's an active participant, and to the passive participant. Shmomar mishkevei isha. Calls it mishkevei isha active. What does it mean, mishkevei isha? Because mishkevei isha, by a woman, we know what's the threshold for bia is 3 years old. A woman over the age of 3 is already considered ra'ui the bia. Ru'ah the bia. If she's ru'ah the bia, then you're chayav for a rayot in the Torah. So therefore, the threshold here will be 3. Over the age of 3, if someone sleeps with a male, adult who sleeps with a male child over the age of 3 will be chayav, because the threshold is determined by mishkevei isha, like a woman by 3 years old. Under 3 years old, they would not be chayav. Above 3, they will be chayav. The threshold will be 3 and not 9, like in other places, because of the term mishkevei isha over here. So again, just to summarize over here, this Bryce is telling us that Zachur, one who sleeps with a katan over here, and we said before, it doesn't matter, katan and gadol do differentiate. We differentiate between katan and, not all katanim are going to be mechayev, an adult. Only some. Right? Before we had the limud that a katan is like a gadol, and there's no differentiation. That's for a katan over the age of 9, according to Rav, and according to Shmuel, that's for a katan over the age of 3. But then there is a katan that's not like a gadol, where if you sleep with this katan, you will not be mechayev you. According to Rav, that's a katan below the age of 9, and according to Shmuel, that's for a katan under the age of 3. Tanya, come on, say the Rav. We have a price that supports position. Rav Zachar ben Tisha Shanim Yom Echad, a Ba'al Abeima, Ben Kedarka, Ben Shalok Kedarka. That a Zachar who is over the age of 9, who sleeps with an animal, Ben Kedarka, Ben Shalok Kedarka, right? Meaning that he's a considered Eruveya, Ba'isha, Meviat Beima, Alea, Ben Kedarka, Ben Shalok Kedarka, who brings an animal on her, whether it's Kedarka, Shalok Kedarka, Chayav. So over there, in both these cases, you're Chayav. So what do you see from here? You see that he's called a Rova, meaning that he's still considered to be a person who's classified as a rova from 9 years and 9 years and 1 day old. That's what considers him to be an active party or a shochev. And since that's the active party, a ben shekadarka, ben shelokadarka, right? That would also make him, in the passive sense, he also can only be from 9 years and 1 day old. And that would be a price that supports the position of Rav, who says the threshold for a katan, who is a passive party, the recipient party, has to be 9 years old. Okay, we'll stop here.